All right, we're going over a series on conditions for salvation. Salvation in the gospel message of Jesus Christ is conditional. It is conditional. And that is not popular to say that the gospel message is conditional, but it is a true statement of fact. And what does it mean? What do I mean when I say that salvation in the gospel is conditional? It means that we must do something. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does," notice that word, "does, the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." There are certain Bible teachers that will tell you that there is nothing to do, that it's all been done for you. But this is not what the Lord Jesus teaches. He uses the word "does." Very, very clear in this passage. It's conditional. "The one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Those are the people that will enter the kingdom. Those who teach that salvation is not conditional, they are contradicting, not me, they're contradicting the teachings of Jesus. They're contradicting His doctrine. And Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to, does not agree to, or agree with the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself." So it's very clear in this passage that people who contradict the words of Jesus Christ in their teachings, that we are to withdraw ourselves from them. We are not to have fellowship with them. Jesus said we must do the will of the Father in order to gain entrance into the kingdom. And therefore, that makes kingdom salvation, the gospel of the kingdom, something that is conditional. It is something that we must do. To enter the kingdom of heaven is to be saved. It is salvation. It is when Jesus Christ returns. And remember, further on down in the chapter, Jesus says, "The wise, it is the wise who hear His words and does them. And they are likened to a man who build on the rock, and they will stand." And then He says, "The fool, they hear His words, but he does not do them. And they build on sand, and their destiny will be destruction." So entering the kingdom of heaven, which is salvation, is conditional. We have to do God's will. We cannot be saved by not doing anything. And that is what unconditional salvation would be, that we would not have to do anything, even believe. And that is universalism. They teach that everyone is saved by the death of Jesus Christ because we don't have to do anything. But we have a responsibility, according to the Bible, we have a responsibility in our salvation. God, on His part, He will not fail. He is faithful. He's always faithful. But man must do his part. So let us not neglect the so great salvation in Hebrews 2:3. Let us not receive the grace of God in vain in 2 Corinthians 6:1. Let us run the race with endurance that is set before us in Hebrews 12:1. Let us fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy 6:12. And let us strive to enter the straight and narrow gate of Luke 13:24. And let us walk worthy of the Lord in Colossians 1:10, who has called us to His kingdom and glory in 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Let us make no mistake about it. There is no Lord and Savior except Jesus Christ. He is the Lord and He is the Savior. No one can be saved without a Lord and Savior. But we, on our part, must do what our Lord and Savior instructs us to do in order to be saved. That's the point. Jesus said in Luke 6:46 on your notes, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" So it's not enough to call Jesus Lord, Lord. It's just not enough. It's not enough to make that confession. It's not enough. We must do the things which He says. Very clear. So if we want to lay hold on eternal life, if we want to inherit the earth as Jesus promised, if we want to inherit eternal life in the age to come, we want to share in that first resurrection in Revelation 20 verse 6 and obtain salvation, then we have to meet. Then, notice I use the word if. Then we have to meet certain conditions. Now, one of those conditions that we saw last Sunday is found in the word repentance. Repentance. And we need to repent. No question about it. We will perish if we don't repent. Okay, we will perish. That's what the scriptures are very clear. We saw that last week. It is clear as day. Repentance is a condition for salvation. Let us not err. But it's not the only condition. Let us not err there either. It is not the only condition. Let us not accept one condition at the exclusion of other conditions. That is a huge, monstrous error and fallacy that we can fall into as Christian people. And it's taught many times in Christian pulpits. Another important condition for salvation in the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as equally as important as repentance, is found in the word believe. 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 Faith is a condition for salvation. We're commanded to believe. It is a condition for salvation. Our faith will save us. Our faith will save us. There are two Greek words I want you to be aware of. The word believe is a verb in the Greek, pistuo. And the noun in the Greek is pistis. It is translated faith in the English. Now we'll define these words later on in a minute. But Jesus commanded people to believe. He commanded them to believe. In Mark 1:14 and 15, now after John was put in prison, that's what happens sometimes. When you follow God's will, you might be put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, "Time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So notice, we are to believe in the gospel. Our belief is to be focused. We can't just say, "Well, I believe," and not believe in anything. Just believe. Believe and believe. Right? That's not what we're, as Christians, to do. We are to believe in the gospel. Whatever the gospel message proclaims, whatever the gospel message declares, we are to believe it. And the word believe here is a verb. And it's an action verb. And in the Greek grammar, it's in the imperative mood. That means it's a command. It is a command. Jesus is commanding. It is a condition. Just as the word repent in this verse is also a command and also a condition. Both are commands. Both are conditions. These are things that you and I must do as individuals before God. We must repent and we must believe. Now the scriptures are clear that the active voice tells us without any shadow of doubt, the active voice here in the Greek grammar is that it's every person's responsibility before God to repent and believe. In order to what? Be saved. Jesus said in Luke 8:12, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes. And you know the devil comes to those who hear? Like today, the devil comes to those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they believe and be saved. The word here that Jesus refers to is the gospel. It's the word of God. It's sown like a seed into the soil, into the heart of a person. And the word here can be taken away from us. We have to believe in order to be saved, Jesus says. That is a condition here. And that's why the devil comes. The devil knows that that's a condition. And he doesn't want anyone here to believe. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want anyone here to believe because he knows believe is a condition in order to be saved. And he doesn't want anyone to be saved. J.C. Ryle, he says this about this passage, in The Wayside Hearers. Let us take heed that we are not wayside hearers. Let us beware of the devil. We shall always find him at church. Isn't that interesting? We shall always find him at church. He is ever watching for our halting and seeking an occasion to destroy our souls. But nowhere perhaps is the devil so active as in a congregation of gospel hearers. Nowhere does he labor so hard to stop the progress of that which is good and to prevent man and women being saved. From him come wandering thoughts. Oh, wandering thoughts. From him come roving imaginations, listless minds and dull memories, sleepy eyes and fidgety nerves, weary ears and distracted attention. In all these things, Satan has a great hand. People wonder where they come from. They wonder where they come from. And marvel how it is that they find sermons so dull and remember them so badly. They forget the parable of the sower. They forget the devil. Isn't that true? So true, man. Puritan writer J.C. Ryle. Right, get his books. I'm telling you, his books are good. Paul also used the word believe as a condition for salvation. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. To save those who believe. The message preached here is the gospel. And again, believe is whose responsibility? Our responsibility. It is a condition. The gospel will do us no good unless we believe it. Again, the verb believe here. This time, it's in the present tense. It's in the present tense. And what does that mean? Paul is saying that as long as we continue to believe, we will be saved. Present tense. Present tense. And we know, as we taught in this church over and over again, the present tense can stop. It can stop. We can stop believing. Right? We can stop believing. And It can start for a while, but later on we can stop. Luke 8:13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while. See, they believe for a while, and in the time of temptation, the time of testing, when God wants to know what we really believe, right? That's why He puts us in the test, right? He wants to see what we really do believe. So, I mean, we're not going to see, He's not going to see what we really believe unless He turns us upside down and starts to do a little shaking. Right? And then what we really believe comes out, right? It comes out. The Exodus generation, as we used last week, is a prime example. A prime example of people who were tested. They believed in the beginning, but then they got tested. And guess what? They stopped believing. In Jude 5, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, that's the Exodus generation, He saved them. Praise God. Hallelujah. They're saved. Let's keep reading. Afterward, destroyed those who did not believe. They did not believe. They believed in the beginning, but they did not, present tense, continue to believe. In Psalm 78, 21 and 22, we have this testimony of the same group spoken of in Jude 5. Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Why? Verse 22. Why is God so mad here? Because they did not believe in God. They did not trust in His salvation. Psalm 106:24. Then they despised the pleasant land. Why did they despise the pleasant land? They did not believe His word. And the pleasant land is a picture of the kingdom. The pleasant land is the land flowing with milk and honey, what God had promised for Israel for their salvation. The Exodus generation is particular here. So although the gospel of the good news was preached to this generation of Jews, they did not believe to the end. They did not really believe the promise of God. They did not take God at His word. And that's what it means to believe. It means to take God at His word. Salvation is for those who continue to believe. We must believe to win. Christmas? Easter? No. We must believe to the end. To the end. No matter what we go through. Right? No matter what we go through. No matter what happens in this life. No matter what comes our way. As they have a saying in America, is it hell or high water? I'm still going to do it. I'm still going forward. Romans 4. This is Abraham. Abraham is someone who continued to believe despite what he went through, despite what he experienced by sight. Romans 4:20. Talking about Abraham. He did not waver. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. See, when we're strengthened in faith, we give glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was also able to perform. Romans 4:21 gives a good definition of what it means to believe. What is it? What is a good definition for the word believe? Being fully convinced. Fully convinced. Oh man, what a great definition. fully convinced that God, what God has promised, He can bring it to pass. Now, Abraham, by sight, had nothing to hope for. Everything by sight, everything by experience, all those little voices inside were going against what God had promised to Abraham. But he did not waver in unbelief. He did not quit when it got tough to believe. Instead, he was strengthened in faith through testing. He took God at His word, even when everything was going contrary to what God said in His word. Right? I mean, he was promised a son, but yet his body was good as dead. That's what it says. His body was good as dead. And then he looked over at Sarah and he saw Sarah and her womb was dead. But Abraham did not focus on the impossibilities. He continued to believe the promise. He kept the promise before him. He kept believing the promise. He was fully convinced. Fully convinced. Another key passage for salvation and the word believe is in Romans 1:16. Paul said that the gospel of Christ is the power of God leading to salvation. But it's conditional. It is for everyone who continues to believe. Notice this, Romans 1:16. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Oh man, the gospel of Christ, that is the power of God. And the word "to" here is a preposition. Actually, it means leading to. Leading to salvation. And here's the condition. Here's the condition right here. Is it for everyone? No. For everyone who believes. There's the condition. Everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. And that means everybody in this room. Right? I don't think we have any Jews here this morning, but we do have a lot of Gentile Greeks, right? I mean, in one sense, Gentiles. But as long, and you know what? The word believe here, in Romans 1:16, present tense. Present tense. As long as we continue to believe, we have hope and salvation. Only when we continue to believe does the power of God through the gospel message work in our lives daily. Right? You say, why not? It's the gospel's not working in my life. The power of God, where is it? Do you believe? Do you believe? The Christian life has a beginning. And Paul refers to it when we first believed in Romans 13:11. He says, knowing the time, that it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we what? First believed. So I think it's very clear here that believe in this verse is in view of salvation. And salvation here is not something that we have. Right? Or it wouldn't be nearer. Right? If we had it, why does Paul say it's nearer? Like we're moving toward it. We're moving toward it. It's not yet possessed, but it's conditioned on the fact that we at some point had to believe. At some point, we had to believe. It is the beginning of our salvation journey. It's marked by when we first believed. And I personally believe that that includes baptism. Baptism is so important. And I think in this verse, as in others, the word believe is inclusive of all that is required for one to be saved. I think the word believe can be understood that way. And this is the way the word is used in many, many, many places. For example, Paul in Ephesians 1:13. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Then in Acts 13:48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, the gospel. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life, believed. Now I think the sealing of the Holy Spirit of promise in verse 13 of Ephesians 1 is something that takes place when we're baptized. So that phrase, having believed, in Ephesians 1:13, includes the condition of baptism. Paul is referring to when the Ephesian Christians first heard the gospel. He calls it the gospel of your salvation. And one of the gospel conditions, which we're going to get to, is submitting to water baptism. That is how we're added to the church. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes, there's the condition, believe, and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Before anyone can ever be baptized in water, they first must repent. We saw that last week. And they also must believe. They must believe. That's what we see here, condition. They must believe and be baptized. We don't baptize people unless they believe the gospel. They have to believe the gospel. My point here, I want to make this very clear. In Acts 13:48, Romans 13:11, Ephesians 1:13, that word believed is used in regards to salvation. And it is inclusive of all the conditions that is required in the gospel message. In all three places, Paul uses the word believe to be all-inclusive. Instead of naming each condition one by one, he summarizes it in the word believed. Now some people say, see, all these verses, all they teach is that all you have to do is believe. Meaning that it's just a mental thought or a mental exercise. We can really see this idea behind the word believed in Acts chapter 2. All through the book of Acts, in fact. But in Acts chapter 2, Peter said to a crowd of people, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. Notice verse 42. What did they do? They all went home and did their own thing. No. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now notice verse 44. Notice how he summarizes the people that repented, the people that were baptized, and the people that continued steadfastly. He uses a phrase here. Verse 44. Now all who believed. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. The phrase all who believed does not just refer to people who believed and that's it. It refers to those who had repented. It refers to those who were baptized. And it refers to all those who were continually being steadfast in their walk in the church. In other words, it refers to all those who had obeyed the gospel preaching of Peter. All who believed obeyed the conditions of the gospel. The word believed is used by Luke to include other conditions for salvation, although he may not specifically mention those conditions in the text. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts 4:4. However, many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of men came to be 5,000. In Acts 4:32, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul, Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And then in Acts 5:14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, believers. So here we have those who believed. They're referred to as believers. But let's keep in mind here, that's not all they did. They just didn't believe. That's not what he's trying to say here. Because we know the conditions of the gospel. There are other conditions. It doesn't mean they only believed. It doesn't mean that believe is the only condition. The word believed here in these verses includes other conditions that are laid down in the gospel message. Though he doesn't mention them and list them for us. They believed that they needed to repent. They believed that they needed to be baptized. They believed that they needed to continue in the church steadfastly. So when people say, all you have to do is only believe, we don't even see the word only there. Or believe alone. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say believe only or believe alone. So they believed the gospel. They believed all the conditions, not just one. That's why they're called believers. Right? Believers. I hope you understand that, because it's very, very important. All those that were added to the Lord, which means they were added to the church, they were referred to as believers. Why? Because they were obeying the conditions of the gospel. All of them. Not just one. So people make this huge mistake and they think that they're called believers because that's all they did. They only believed. Those who believed, believers, are those people who obeyed all the conditions of the gospel message. I want to make that clear. In the Gospel of John, we have this problem. We read certain passages in the Gospel of John that requires one to believe in Christ in order to be saved or to have eternal life. Let me just give you an example. In John 3:14-16, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, notice that, believes in Him, should not perish but have everlasting life. So people will say, well, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. You don't have to continue in the church in order to have eternal life. Because Jesus said here, all you have to do is believe in Him. John specifically uses the phrase believes in Him, or he who believes in Me, Jesus says, has eternal life. And the only conditions we see in these passages is the word believe. So that leads many professing Christians to say, oh, there's just one single condition to be saved. All we have to do is believe in Jesus one time. I used to teach that. But we cannot accept one condition at the exclusion of other conditions. First of all, to believe in Jesus is what? What does that mean? Believe in Me. Believe in Jesus. What does that mean? Jesus came to this earth with a message. He had a message. He told people to listen to His words. He told people to receive His teachings. So when it says, believe in Jesus, believe in Him, believe in Me, we're not asking, as I always say, we're not asking someone to believe a figure in a white robe. We're asking people to believe His teachings. Believe His gospel. Believe His word. And in the gospel, There are conditions. And as we saw last week, one of them is repentance. Another one we're going to see soon is baptism. And another one we see this week is to believe. And even in that chapter, John chapter 3, it ends with Jesus baptizing. In John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. So even in that chapter, right on the heels of John 3:16, is baptism. He baptized disciples. So what I'm saying is that word believe does not just mean some mental process that I go through. It is inclusive of all that is required from us in the gospel in order to be saved, which includes all the conditions, not just one. I'm going to close up here. There are other verses like that in John. John 3:36, John 5:24, John 6:40, John 6:47, John 3:15 and 16. I already shared those verses. John 11:25. All these verses use the word believe. Okay? But it doesn't say anything about baptism. It doesn't say anything about obedience or commitment. It doesn't say anything about repentance. So people jump to the conclusion and say, see, all you have to do is believe. And they'll say, give people the gospel of John if you want them to have eternal life. You don't just give people the gospel of John. You give them the Bible. You give them the whole Bible. I mean, we have to read all the counsel of God, not just John. John did not have the everything down that God requires of us. There are other writers. There's Peter. I mean, then we would just say the Bible of John. Right? The Bible, we wouldn't need other books in the Bible. But we do. So giving someone the Gospel of John is ludicrous. It really is. You need to give people a Bible. They need to read Genesis. They need to read all the whole thing. Not just the Gospel of John. Or they're going to come out with a false understanding of what it really means to be saved. By the way, in all these verses in John that I just read for you, John 3:16, John 3:36, John 5:24, John 6:40, where the word believe is conditioned for eternal life, all the times the word believe is in the present tense. It doesn't mean a one-time belief. It means that we must continue to believe. And as long as we continue to believe, we have the promise. We have the hope of eternal life. Okay? In closing today, my last verse I'm going to share with you. I think this will clear up what I mean by the word believe. Okay? In Acts 16:30, this is the Philippian jailer. And this is an amazing, amazing portion of Scripture that people really mess up. But I think it will tell you, it will show you that the word believe is used as a condition for salvation, but it's used in an inclusive way. An inclusive way. Meaning that it includes other conditions. In Acts 16:30, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Now, notice the question. What must I do to be saved? Short, to the point. And notice Paul's reply in verse 31. He did not say, "Oh, there is nothing that you need to do in order to be saved." Did he say that? Paul did not say there were no conditions for salvation. He did not say you don't have to do anything. It's already been done for you. No, that's not what Paul said. He gave a condition. He gave a command, in fact, is a command. The word believe is a command. Salvation is conditional. We must do something to be saved. And he commanded the jailer to believe. Believe is a condition. It's something that the jailer was required to do. God was not going to do it for him. So we have to ask the question, what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is interpreted many different ways. Some will say to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ means you believe in your mind one time that He died for you on the cross. But it's very interesting, the context here doesn't really say. To believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. It doesn't really say that. You would have to read that in to the text. But in the context, we see something very interesting. What was the jailer to believe? Was he only to believe that Jesus died on the cross for him? I think the best way to see this is understand what Jesus came preaching and teaching. To believe on Him means to believe in His message that He preached, His gospel message, which does include, no doubt, His death, burial, and resurrection. But let me tell you this, the apostles were preaching the gospel before Jesus died. So the gospel is not just Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That's just not the gospel. Because they were preaching the gospel when Jesus was on the earth before He died. You can look that up. The gospel includes the kingdom. The gospel includes the teachings of Jesus while He was on this earth. Verse 32 is a tell-all. It tells us what the Philippian jailer was to believe. It says, then they spoke. See, if we separate verse 31 from verse 32, you can make anything up. But verse 32 is not separated from verse 31. Verse 32 says, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Oh my goodness, if you separate verse 31 from verse 32, you lose it. What is the word of the Lord? 1 Peter 1:25 says the word of the Lord is the gospel. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe on the gospel message, which we know includes obedience to baptism, which we know means to repent. And you say, well, how do you know baptism's involved in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Even in this context, it tells you. Verse 33. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, how in the world did the jailer know that it was required for him to be baptized? It doesn't say that Paul said, you need to be baptized. Well, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He didn't say, be baptized. But somewhere, this jailer knew that he needed to be baptized. Paul spoke to him the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord includes baptism. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ includes baptism. Now here's where I want to end, right here. Verse 34. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And by the way, notice he washed their stripes. He was probably the one who put the stripes on them. And by washing them could be a picture of repentance, right? Now when he had brought them into the house, set food before them, and he rejoiced. What does it say? Having believed in God with all his household. You see, having believed sums up all that he did, including obedience to water baptism. So when the question is asked, what must I do to be saved? Paul answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It means to believe the gospel message, which includes repentance. It includes believing, it includes baptism, all of it inclusive in this word believe. Having believed, all conditions laid down in the gospel are found in that phrase in verse 34, having believed. Okay? So there is a group They're called faith alone, the faith alone movement, believe alone movement. But that is wrong. It's wrong teaching. They're not understanding Scripture and how God and how the writers are using the word believe. So we'll continue on this next week. I won't keep you in, well, I was going to keep you another 2 hours, but I decided that I will let you off the hook on that. So my voice will not last that long. So anyways, thank you so much for coming today and listening to me. I appreciate that. It's always a blessing. And let us pray and we shall go. Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in the church. Thank you for all of our visitors. And we want to pray for Seema's dad as he is getting dialysis. And just help him, Father, in his recuperation and his health. And we are thankful, God, for having us here this morning. And bless us, Lord, as we continue to fellowship with each other. In Jesus' name, amen.